You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah! You made it!
I was a little nervous. A lot
this
going on the freeways today.
Can I explain what has taken place in the last 25 minutes or so?
Sure.
So I get a call.
Heart is pumping a little faster than usual.
I was kind of hoping there'd be some sweat running down your face, or you'd be short of breath, or something like that. Because you call, just to give everybody a little bit of an idea, we do our morning meeting remotely. We do it via Zoom. I'm here in the studio, and you do it from home, and then you drive in, and we do the show here. But today you called me at around, I don't know, was it 9:25 or so? You're like,
probably right. Probably exactly 9:25. Yeah.
Hey, Trav, there's something going on the 110 and, I don't know if I'm going to make it. It's like, we're not moving at all. And I say, yeah, no problem. Just get here when you get here. And then you say, I'll give you an update. And then you call me back about 15 minutes later. Like,
abort mission.
It's not going to happen. I'm not going to make it, and I'm turning around. I'm going back to my house. I'm going to do it remotely, and my dad instinct kicked in, right? I'm like, dude, slow down. Drive carefully.
You did. You became very thoughtful.
Take
very
your time.
Thoughtful.
It's okay. Just get wherever it is you're going safely, and you're here, and you made it, and you're composed, and I was looking forward to making fun of you a little bit for missing work.
So here's the funny part. When you say that you started the whole, hey, everything's going to be fine. You know what? Just take your time, all this stuff. I'm like, I don't want to hear that right now, okay? I got 94 cars in front of me, and I'm moving. Okay, let me just kind of explain. This is very simple here. I brag about using Waze, right?
Yeah.
I brag about, hey, this is a great thing. Not that I don't know how the hell to get to downtown L.A. The problem is usually, okay, well, is there going to be traffic? Is there not? I understand when I'm leaving a Lakers game, and I'm trying to get home. And there's construction signs everywhere. I'm with all that. I understand that. That's the risk you take when you're driving at 11:30 at night on an LA freeway.
Sure.
9:30? What are we doing
in the morning on Thursday?
On the 110, that there's
like 4 miles from downtown.
There's literally 2 to 3 lanes most of the time. You know, obviously nobody's going to move. I mean, even if your car breaks down, there's nowhere to go on the 110. You're basically in the pocket here. That's it. So that was a little interesting. A little interesting morning here.
I'm glad you made it. I'm glad you made it safely. No, whenever I hear somebody that's running late and they're like, well, I can make up this. You use the phrase, I can make up some time. I'm like, just stop right there. Get there whenever you get there. I don't – because every time I hear one of my – all three of my kids drive now, right?
Yep.
So it's terrifying. And every parent out there knows how scary it is when your kids start to drive. Like, just – take your time.
Mm-hmm.
If you're late, it's don't worry about it. I'd rather you be late than you get in an accident or something else happens. So when you went into full all make up time mode, I'm like, well, Alan,
yeah.
I need you to hear me. I need you to slow down. And whenever you get there, it'll be just fine.
I have a strategy. When I say I'm going to make up time, I have a strategy on my way to work. And nobody uses it. It's amazing to me how 95% of the cars that if they just follow me, it just will open up the entire freeway, okay? When you're on the 110 and you exit Dodger Stadium,
mm-hmm.
if you exit right there on Dodger Stadium,
Academy
where it's
Road.
Just, what's that?
Academy Road.
Sure. Oh, that's right. I think
that's
it's Academy Road.
That's the back way in, yeah.
Okay, so if you exit right there, first of all, you're in a lane where everybody's not moving because they're not trying to exit.
Right.
So from maybe a half mile out, I'm all by myself. The only people in front of me are the ones that were trying to go as far as they can before now they put their left blinker on and they're trying to get back on the 110, right? Those are the only ones in front of me. I exit and then I get right back on the freeway and I cut like Waze doesn't even know what I'm doing. It's a good 5 minutes that I shave right out the gate. So that's what I meant by I can make up some time.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you're here. That's true. But I did want you to be a little late just so I could hold that over you
forever,
really. Like, I would always be that guy about, hey, remember that time on December 2nd when you were late? remember when you missed the first segment of the show on December 2nd? Because I like to be that guy. I like to take little things that are not a big deal and turn them into a big deal.
Well, can I take you back to, and I'm sure you remember this, remember our last night show?
When I had to do it by myself, when you took the day off and I was the only one that worked? You mean that one?
And then remember the day before Thanksgiving.
You mean the day that DeMarco and I did the show when you took the day off and I was the only one here working with
the
DeMarco?
The two highest rated Travis and Sliwa shows that we've had. I don't know if there's a coincidence there.
I'm sure.
Just don't know it.
I'm sure it isn't. ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. You can be a part of the Trav and Slee Show via the Dr. Pepper call-in line. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. College football's back. So are the fans. Return to glory with fans who are like Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. Do you remember what we did right off the top of the show yesterday, by chance, Al? About the listener that tweeted us the picture of his podcast time that he spends
with
us.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So we got another one today. Mm-hmm. Okay, do you remember the number last, it was, what was it, like 1,500 minutes or something like that he had listened to?
Okay.
This is from Madrid 47, and it says, your top podcast was Travis and Sliwa. You listened to 171 episodes for a total of 7,458 minutes. So, Madrid 47, thank you very, very much for spending that amount of time with us. That is outstanding, and all of you should get on Madrid 47's level.
Appreciate it. That's awesome. Look, I'm just going to kind of throw this out there. Lakers Talk is available as well if you want to go for it's about an hour and a week. No, I'm just kidding. So that's awesome. That's great.
He sent the picture of all his top podcasts, and we're at the top, right?
Yep.
It had like your top five, and it was us. There was one on the Miami Dolphins. There was another one on the Boston Red Sox, so he's obviously a big sports fan.
That's funny. And, how random are those?
And wait, the best one was?
Okay.
Hold on. I want to get it exactly right because I don't want to blow it. The other one was Serial Killers. This number four most listened to podcast was Serial Killers.
I know that sounds funny. I think that's one of the top podcasts.
Oh, sure.
But
we beat the Serial Killers. We're number one. Serial Killers
yes.
are number four. So I feel pretty good about that.
What were the
process.
Teams? You said Miami. What was the other
Dolphins
one?
And the Red Sox and 30 for 30. That was so we're number one. Dolphins podcast is number two. Locked on Dolphins, run by my pal David Locke. 30 for 30 podcast number three. Serial Killers number four. And Locked on Red Sox number five.
But how funny is that? Like, have you ever heard somebody say, you know, listen, Tua just has to play better. And I'm really curious what's going to happen in the offseason for the Red Sox. It's like, what? How did you tie those two squads together?
You never know. You got to put it all together. And he's obviously a Laker and Dodger fan because we spent a lot of time on that as well. Speaking of, Al, good news for the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. You know, we saw Corey Seager leave for big money. We saw Max Scherzer leave for big money. Chris Taylor is staying in L.A. for big money. Maybe not as big a money as those other two guys, but 4 years, $60 million, and arguably the best utility guy slash, you know, up and down the order guy in baseball. Maybe Kike Hernandez, he's kind of an everyday guy in one spot now. But the Dodgers got to keep who I thought going into this was their second most important option behind Corey Seager.
Yeah, and listen, I don't know from a baseball perspective, when we've talked about the Dodgers just being incredibly responsible, they're going to be smart with their money. That doesn't mean that if they don't find somebody that they think, hey, let's go out and pay this dude, they're going to go pay him. But Chris Taylor is – how many different positions can he play for the Dodgers? How many
Six,
different times –
realistically.
How many times can he kind of plug things in for the Dodgers? And he had some big-time moments, obviously, in the playoffs, had some great moments in the regular season as well. I'm sure Dodger fans, you know, it hurts that Corey Seager left, but they understand that that dude is going to go walk away with 10 years, $325 million.
Mm-hmm.
Max Scherzer, we can make an argument since the trade deadline, was the best pitcher for the Dodgers, period, no questions asked. But you can also say that, well, he's 37. You want to pay him till he's 40 at $43 million, the richest contract. Isn't it the most per year? Richest.
Yep, number one, $43 million a year.
Do you want to give Scherzer that kind of numbers? Now, that doesn't mean that the Dodgers don't have more work to do and, okay, how are they going to fill out the rest of the roster? Maybe that gap between them and a couple of these NL teams or NL West teams, that got smaller. But Chris Taylor seems like that's an incredibly critical, important, strategic signing that, as you've mentioned in the past, can play multiple positions and obviously a key guy for what the Dodgers are trying to do moving forward. A
couple of things here. Number one, I want to just spend 30 seconds talking about Max Scherzer since you brought him up.
Mm-hmm.
Can he stop? Can he
what
please
he
just
what
stop?
Happened?
It's just, look, he is a fantastic pitcher, a relentless competitor, and I was thrilled to have him as a member of the Dodgers. I thought he did a fantastic job. But he signs, like you just said, literally the most expensive contract in baseball history as far as annual or average annual value goes, $43 million a year. And it's, well, the Dodgers gave me the dead arm. Well, the reason I came to the Mets was because it's near where my family lives in Florida, and that's where they do spring training.
Money had nothing to do with it.
Dude, they gave you $43 million a year at 37 years old for 3 years. Stop. Just please stop. I'm sure those other things are nice little notes, but the Mets came in heavy. You took the money. I respect it. I would have done the same thing. But can we stop throwing shade at the Dodgers? Can we start talking about your kids don't have to move from school early? Because if that's what it was, play for the Rays. That's close to where the kids go to school. You don't have to move them at all.
Do you think he is? Because it's funny when you say he's throwing shade at the Dodgers. I think the comment was unnecessary to say, hey, well, you know, this is what I was used to doing with the Nationals. The Dodgers didn't treat me the same exact way. That's part of the reason why I wasn't fresh or I couldn't go towards the end, which is kind of crazy because they used him so often. And, you know, obviously they were – it's not like – if there's one thing we're not going to mention about the Dodgers from last season is, well, they didn't get enough out of Julio. Or, you know what, they should have pitched Buehler more. That was never the case with, you know, the starters that they had. They're obviously getting the innings. You think he's throwing shade, or do you think he's just simply trying to kind of explain?
Maybe how you said it. Unnecessary, maybe. But, dude, you're Max Scherzer. If you want to pitch, pitch. You know what I mean? This is the same guy that told Dave Roberts, don't effing touch me when he came out of a game. Yeah. And now you're telling me that they're the ones that won't let you go out and pitch a certain amount. And it just the whole thing just doesn't add up. I don't want to say anything bad about him because
I think you're mad at Scherzer.
I'm not mad at him. It's unnecessary. Dude, you got $43 million a year. I get it. I would take it too. You don't have to. Well, one of the reasons I'm into Mets is because the Dodgers gave me the dead arm and they wouldn't let me compete. And I know that I need to throw 110 pitches, you know, every 5 days. And okay, fine, whatever. But why do we have to do that? I don't understand. Why do we have to do the whole spring training thing? It just seemed completely unnecessary.
I always wonder when somebody avoids the, hey, this is why I signed with this squad, this team, if they're not better off just saying, do you see what's on this paper?
It's the best deal on the table. I took
Look
the best
at the
deal.
Numbers on this. Like, I wonder if that would be refreshing for listeners or for fans to just say, hey, at least the guy's being honest. Look at the numbers they offered me. That's why I'm a New York Met. And then he can also say, well, hey, I think this team, this squad's got at least a chance to be in competition.
Yeah.
I could be the difference of them making the postseason.
Perfect.
All that stuff right there.
Just be an agent. That's exactly right. Look at the deal. I think I can win here. I think I'm the difference that can help them get over the top. I'm looking forward to a leadership role, which is what he did say. Oh, that's great. But you don't have to fire bullets at the team that you just left or that they were the reason that you weren't able to pitch in the NLC. But it seemed completely over the top. Let's go back to Chris Taylor for a second again, because now we've got the next guys, right? Now that Taylor is here, now that Seager's in New York, or excuse me, in Texas, and Scherzer's in New York, it's Kenley and it's Clayton Kershaw. Now, nothing's going to happen until they get the labor situation ironed out.
So about 3 years away, we're going to find out what happens with Kenley.
You know what's funny? I'm going to pull this up real quick. Yeah. So here, let me pull up this tweet. I marked it here for a second. So there's been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And this is the 9th different labor stoppage. We've had strikes and lockouts in 72, 73, 76, 80, 81, 85, 90, 94, and now. Okay? In only 3 of those 9 previous times have we actually missed any baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So in the other 6, no games are lost. So
it's just
point.
Jockeying, basically.
It's just,
yep.
Everybody knows what you and I do for a living, right? That we follow sports, we talk about sports, we're interested in sports, we like this stuff. I just really am not terribly interested in the mechanics of what it is that they're arguing over about salary floors and median salaries this and more development. I want to watch baseball in the summer. I want to watch the Dodgers play. You guys figure it out. You know what I mean? I'm sure that in a labor situation, just in a strictly labor situation, if we're talking about steel workers or stevedores or whatever it is, that there's a right side and a wrong side. And I'm sure that this exists here. I'm just kind of disinterested in the whole thing. I don't care. I just want guys to be able to play, make as much money as you can. They can run out of the business the way they want. I just know that I want to see baseball in the summer. And let's just stop with all this stuff.
Well, this is... it will affect you when it affects you. And what I mean by that is during the COVID season, mm-hmm. right? Remember where we were kind of painting this picture, and maybe the media was painting this picture, and I fell into it. They're like, well, what if we started on the 4th of July? What's better than
America, apple pie, baseball, right. and Chevrolet.
Right,
let's
exactly.
go.
it was all like they painted this picture, and I'm like, damn, that's fantastic. You know what? They're going to be the first sport back. Remember, it was like, well, which sport can come back first?
Lacrosse.
Probably was lacrosse. It might have been. It might have been MLS. I think MLS ended up being the first sport that came back. But it was okay. Basketball, they still got to figure everything out. They're going to try to go in the Orlando bubble, and the NFL and college football. That's just based upon when their schedule starts. And once you started looking at baseball, and it was like, okay, well, what are they going to go half the season? And then it was like, okay, they're going to go 72 games, and then they ended up at 60. I never really got, like, just like you're sitting back right now saying, I don't really care what happens today and tomorrow. Just make sure this stuff is figured out by the time, you know, you get to spring training and we don't miss any baseball. You said only three times that they missed games.
Three of the previous nine.
You got obviously enough of a opportunity to kind of work on this, but I'm with you. It is kind of funny, and it is just jockeying. And you've always said that eventually the players are going to get what they want. There is one part, there is one detail of the deal that I think is interesting. We could do this when we come back, because we don't want to probably get into all the details of why they're not. You know,
you don't want to talk collectively bargained labor negotiations on our show. That's not something that gets you going.
When we come back, I'm going to have my CPA come on, and he's going to explain.
Leaders from the AFL-CIO will come in here and break down what it means to be collective bargaining.
But Trav, there is one piece of this that I think is interesting, and it could have an effect on the Dodgers, so we could do that coming up next.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
$3.95 a bit. That's what he gets. So you owe Chris $3.95, Slee. And then
speaking of Venmo,
your accounts are squared.
Speaking of Venmo, Dean, get that thing over to Kroenke as soon as you can, all right?
Oh, it is the first of the month. He's a day late.
Start of the month. You're a day late, all right? Don't let it get to the third. It gets to the third, Chargers might not have a home game this a week and a half from today.
I picture like a repo man out in front of SoFi with, I'm sorry, guys, the check has not arrived. You can't. Inglewood High School is down the street. If you guys really need to play a game today.
Back to Dignity Health. Back to Dignity Health.
Well, you got to pay to use that, too. The fee at, you know, maybe Morningside's right down the street. You got some options. You can find a place to play. All right, so we were talking about the lockout, and Clinton Yates was, I'm assuming, driving around and listening to us, and he's on the line right now. Clinton, it's funny. I read what you wrote this morning on Twitter about the lockout, and it was very thoughtful and insightful and all these things, and this is no reflection of your ability to write, but as I'm reading it, my eyes are glazing over because I just don't care who, air quote, wins in this thing. It's just not interesting to me. It's not, I understand that we're going to get to a resolution. It's probably going to be something that's tilted more towards the players than the owners because that's the way it typically goes. What am I missing here?
I think what we're missing here in this situation is that, and not to get too sort of far deep into it, but think about where we are in America now, where people and the value of what they do, no matter what the job it is being completely reevaluated in terms of like everything because of the pandemic, supply chain issues, what everybody wants to be able to do to make a living. And when that's compromised, we have to reassess it. And in 2021, when we look at the economic structure of what baseball is, the way they treat the players is unfair. It's as simple as that. And like when it gets down to the core matter of, well, what are we really trying to do here? Improve the game of baseball. Well, the only people who have more to give in that situation are the owners, in my particular opinion. You look at what happened with the minor leagues in terms of banging that out and the money that is not spent there. You look at what happens in terms of wage suppression and the way that teams manipulate service time and all that. It's just, I think people are more understanding now of the fact that regardless of the millionaires that exist in baseball, there's plenty of guys that A, don't make that kind of money and probably should, and B, overall, the system is unfair, and we just know that now. We don't know how much money the owners make. We do know how much money that the Players Association gets back, and that's just a matter of determining it. So I think the thing is, Travis, that as a hardcore baseball fan as you are, this is a different discussion. This is a real American labor dispute that is playing out in the form of baseball.
Clint, when the dust settles, and maybe that's a month from now, maybe it's 4 months from now, what happens? What gives? I mean, Travis has kind of simplified it, saying that eventually the players will get what they want because that's how most of these
–
or close to it, right? And that's just the way other stoppage, work stoppage, or play stoppage has panned out. What happens? I mean, over the next couple of months, how do you think things shake out?
I think what happens is that what goes on with the players is that they get a closer concession to some level of fairness. And whether that's service time changing, whether that's free agency and that window opening up a little bit better, I think we're going to get closer to that. Because the issue is that you have to be in baseball for so long to finally cash out that doesn't make sense for the average time span of a player. You should be able to make more money earlier in your career as you are in your actual prime. And the notion that free agency, Rob Manfred said this today, the MLB commissioner, the notion that free agency is such a turnoff to fans because players leave,
that's
that it shouldn't be part of the market at all,
that's
is insane.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it's like if you had an earlier window to keep guys, A, people would be bigger fans of the game because they would learn who players are earlier in their existence, and B, they might not leave because of said same reason. It's just, that's what I think has to happen here, because there's just too much money to be lost in terms of potential in order for the owners not to take that seriously in terms of what the game looks like specifically on the ground. You can't have only 30-year-olds being the guys that can cash out. It just doesn't make sense for a league that's trying to grow.
You know what I'm going to do, Clinton? I've decided that I'm going to take the lead from Major League Baseball, and I'm just going to erase your face from everything on ESPN. I'm going to pretend that you've never existed, that I'm going to put a bunch of stuff up from the mid-90s to try to do it. That was of all of this stuff, and like I said, I get that there are larger issues at play. I just want to watch baseball, man.
I know, man. And that's my thing, man. But think about everything Major League Baseball has done to prevent us from being able to watch baseball. Regional sports television networks, blackouts all over the place. Like I said, banging out minor league baseball so that other leagues that are developing Major League Baseball are the owners are the ones that have made all those choices.
So
when it comes down to the people that actually make the game work and they're like, hey, this isn't cool, you have to pay attention to that with the same veracity.
I just want to make sure that everybody understands that MLB literally erased everybody's face off of their website this morning. That if
it's
you are,
legal
that if you go,
yeah, legal technicality, Travis. But like, it's just such a bad look. It's, you know, like, what are we doing?
If you go to the Dodgers page on MLB.com, there is not a picture of Clayton Kershaw next to Clayton Kershaw's name. It's just beyond silly. I appreciate you checking in, Clinton. Gotta come in and hang with us one of these days.
I know, right? I'm actually in New York right now, but I'm back tomorrow, so I might check you guys out next week. How about that?
You got it. Thanks, Clint.
Thanks, Glenn.
Right, well,
brother.
See, this is he actually and I. He said something that I was talking about. That I get it. I get that there's a labor issue in this. I get that this is not unlike if you have auto workers or coal miners or stevedores or whatever it is. That these unions have a purpose to make sure that working conditions and pay and benefits and all these things are equitable and evenly distributed. I understand all that. I don't give a damn. I want to watch baseball in the summer. I understand that there are problems in the minor leagues and in all these chain leading to Clinton is 100% right, and I don't mean to be the guy that just show me the finished product. I understand that there's sausage being made here. I just want to eat the sausage. I just don't really care whether or not the guy gets his service time is in year 5 or year 6. It just doesn't move me in any meaningful way.
You don't care, but you also understand the importance for those who do care.
Sure.
You also understand the importance of why they're pushing for what they're pushing for. And the details to me that I think are worth a conversation, that I think are worth some interest. You know, one of the things here was the desire for a expanded postseason, right? There's a proposal there to move from 10 teams to 12. If you remember, there was a 14-team plan at one point, but that one I think got canned. So now the question is, okay, can you find the middle ground? That's the one I think that interests me, because that is very much more from a fan perspective, where somebody can actually sit here, a Dodger fan can say, interesting, do we need more squads in the postseason? And Dodger fans are probably like, no, we don't, because that's just more competition that's going
more
up against the
Dodgers. More chances to get clipped early.
More chances to lose. I've said this before, and I get the argument. The NBA, I'm not telling you they have a perfect system, because you got 16 squads that go in.
More than half.
And by the way, they're not even stopping there anymore. They're saying, hey, not only are we going to let eight in, we're actually going to have 10 in and play a couple extra games.
20 teams.
But here's the funny part about it. I think there is something to that for the whole of the sport. Now, I don't know if this was the intention last year. Trev, we were paying more attention to the bottom of the standings than we were the top of the standings, because the teams were already up there. The number one seed was already there. The two was already there. The question was, hey, who's going to be 7, 8, 9, and 10? And all of a sudden that became so interesting to everybody, because this was unique. It was different. I think I've always been a proponent of, if you can expand the playoffs, I'm not saying you got to do it like the NBA and have that many teams, but man, I think it would be cool for Major League Baseball to have more markets that have more exciting games that are meaningful in August and September, have a chance to make the postseason. Even if you make the postseason and the Dodgers just lay you out in three games or whatever it is, I think even for those other markets, just to be in the mix, just to be a part of the conversation, I think it's good for the game of baseball.
It's a compelling argument, as long as I think there's a drop-dead point of, because right now it's 10, right? Which yep. 10 out of 30 feels, you know, if you're in the top third, you get a chance at it. You get a chance to win the whole thing. I think that sounds about right. If you expanded to maybe 12, okay, you still have my attention. But if we get too much beyond that, now we're all of a sudden, we're bringing into, and especially in baseball, because look, let's say in basketball, for instance, and let's throw last year away because it was odd where Golden State and the Lakers were down near in playing games and they were super compelling.
Sure.
But if you're telling me Memphis and, you know, the Sacramento Kings are competing to become the eighth seed, I just don't care. And because neither one of those teams are going to beat the Golden State Warriors. You know what I mean? Neither one of those teams are going to beat the Phoenix Suns. Uh-huh. In baseball, if we're talking about the 10th team, the Minnesota Twins coming in and clipping the New York Yankees, that can happen.
They could have a good little stretch where
right.
all of a sudden
and
the Yankees
are up. That's, I don't know if that's good for baseball. It's good for Twins fans, I guess. But if all of a sudden a team that won 105 games is out to a team that won 74, that's a problem.
Okay, but you know, we could sit here. I mean, just think about what you just laid out right there. All right, well, why isn't the conversation about reseeding once the playoffs start? Why isn't the conversation? I mean, what the Dodgers had to go through in the playoffs was such idiotic common sense. The fact that they not only had to play in the wild card game, and then, oh, by the way, you don't get home field versus the Atlanta Braves, even though you had a 17-18 game lead on them. I think there are other things that, you know, baseball should certainly consider or work out from a playoff structure once you get to the playoffs, but again, I'm a huge proponent of, I thought the NFL even expanding by one team, whether you needed it or whether you think it had to happen or anything along those lines. One thing we know is they're not going to take less regular season games out because of revenue, and all this thing is about money. And by the way, if they expand playoffs, it's only about the money. If there's a play-in tournament in the NBA, it's only about the money. And obviously nothing changes here.
That's it. I'm taking your face off of the ESPN website. You've violated the collective bargaining agreement.
Oh, no, you did
now
that.
You'll just be a silhouette.
You did that. Remember when we did the media day at Lakers training facility?
No, I tagged you in that picture.
You started posting Instagram photos and just
me and
zooming
LeBron.
zooming into where just my laptop was there. And
it's
you
nice
were there
laptop.
With Carmelo.
Yeah, and LeBron and AD. Don't forget those two as well. Those were pretty exciting. All right, speaking of the Lakers, and can they finally get something done on a Friday? Is that something that's going to happen tomorrow against the Clips? That's next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And you've got a chance to go to the Christmas Day game. So how good is that? How good is that? I mean, it's the Lakers and the Nets. They can't flex that one out of the primetime spot, right? Emily just told me that the Lakers and Clippers on Friday are not an ESPN game. They're going to go Warriors-Suns, which makes a little bit of sense.
But can I tell you something? First of all, as far as the tickets go, to get a chance to be in the suite, stay at the Rogers household for two nights, Airbnb.
Bring an air mattress.
The whole thing. The whole thing. Travis will sleep on the air mattress.
They don't make an air mattress that accommodates somebody as myself. Those are for children on Christmas Eve or camping trips that grown men of a certain carriage do not sleep on those things.
The air is just on the whole time. Like, you have to keep it plugged in.
Well, I need like a team of pumps that are constantly infusing the mattress.
Just like this, just pumping it in. You know, the thing about flexing the Laker game. So Lakers got the Clippers coming up on Friday. And we talked about this, two games in a row, Phoenix and the Warriors are going to play each other. So Phoenix got the first one, and that was without Devin Booker for most of the, you know, the entire second half and most of the second quarter as well. And then now they're going to go up to San Francisco and play that game.
Mm-hmm.
I love this. I cannot tell you much. You know my affinity towards the Los Angeles Lakers. You know how much I love Lakers basketball.
Third favorite team.
Yes, that's right. Third favorite team.
The Cavs, the Grizzlies, and then the Lakers.
Yep, Cavs, Grizzlies. That's my ranking. Just something about Kevin Love. Something about Kevin Love and Dylan Brooks.
Sure. Go Ducks.
Okay, so the fact that the Lakers are getting flexed out of that game, Trav, this is how it should be. You know, I told you and I explained my frustration with some of these other, like that we use as an example, you don't deserve to play on Thanksgiving if you're a squad that's, oh, blah, 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 whatever you are, right?
Sure.
The NBA, go look at their schedule. There were even a time during the Christmas games. I remember when the Lakers were, you know, whatever, they were as bad as they were. And I would always make the argument, get them off the Christmas game.
Yeah,
they don't deserve to be.
It's something like 20 years in a row, right? They've been there for a long time.
I can't remember. I don't know if they missed one or not. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I would make the argument like they don't deserve to be. Give the product, the best product that should be out there. This is a no-brainer, the fact that the Warriors and the Suns play in that game. And that also should tell a little bit of a story of where the Lakers are, at least through the first 23 games. No, you know what? You shouldn't be on a nationally televised game. Throw that game to the two best teams in the NBA right now.
Yeah, no, it's the better game. The question is, what is this game for the Lakers? Because this is another fork in the road, right?
Okay.
This could be a, hey, you know what? We put together a really solid half against the Sacramento Kings, that we played our best basketball of the season for 24 consecutive minutes. We looked like a functioning NBA team that can beat other NBA teams. And
we're
maybe
gonna demoralize you. We're gonna play defense. We're gonna do a little bit of everything.
Yep, and we're gonna make shots, we're gonna play all of that stuff. That if they can come in against the Clippers on Friday night and continue to look like that, then I think really for the first time you say, oh, okay, cool. There's something, and now let's see it again. Is it the Celtics after that? The
Celtics on Tuesday. Yep.
Okay, let's see it against the Celtics. Maybe, you know, the Celtics hammered them in Boston a week or so ago. Maybe they can, you know, get a little bit of that going and they can take care of the Celtics. And we can start to put some bricks in the wall of making a quality team. The problem is every time we've had an opportunity to take that fork in the road, they choose the other one, which is, oh, right, this team's not very good, and they just got blown out all over again. Because the Clippers, their record is mediocre, just like the Lakers, but they're actually not playing very well at all. Was it three in a row that they've dropped?
Yeah, they lost three
in a row. Sacramento. They lost to the Pelicans.
The Pelicans,
yeah. They're not firing on all cylinders. And if you turn around and you lose to them again, it's like, here we go again, and it's just another game off the board where you didn't move the ball down the field.
There are times where, you know, I'm like, yeah, I really like Travis. And then there's other times where I'm like, I don't like him that much. This morning, let me give you a perfect example.
Okay.
This morning I say to you, I'm like, Trav, you know what? they really need to win this game. Mm-hmm. And you kind of take a step back and you do what you do in the third hour. You know, third hour where you just kind of lay back, you put your hands on your head, and you're like, tell me how many times you've already said that this year. I'm like, God dang it. He's right. You're right. You're right. I've said that so many times this year where, hey, this is the big one. This is the game. You're like, yeah, sounds good. You can't say that 11 times
in
23
games.
You can't say
it after every win. Win. This is the one. Lost. Okay. Well, I don't know what's going on.
Okay, so that's an example of when.
So is that when you liked me or you don't like me?
I did not like you. Okay. Yeah, I did not like you. Remember, I've said this a couple different times that, hey, if you want to lose a bad game, if you want to have a bad game, just do it on a Friday night.
True. They've listened to you, by the way. Was it three in a row?
Last three Friday night games for the Lakers, they had the – remember when they lost to Minnesota at Staples by 57? Okay. They lost by 24, right? They got blown out by the T-Wolves. Uh-huh. That was on a Friday night. Then the game that you were talking about with the Celtics, they lost 130-108 in Boston. LeBron came back. Jaylen Brown's not playing in that game. Okay, you thought Lakers were going to take, you know, advantage of that? No, they didn't. And then last Friday, they lost that was a Sacramento game. They lost in triple overtime. Forget that it's on a Friday night, but I think the point that you were trying to make is they've had opportunities so far this year where every time you think you could start building some momentum, every time you think, okay, is that overtime win against the Pacers, is that a game that you can build off of? No, you lose to the Kings. Maybe, you know, use as an example, did they find themselves that game against Milwaukee? Okay, they lost it, but they played really well and they were doing it without LeBron. Can they build off of that? No, you can't. You get blown out by the Celtics. So I think you've been, like you mentioned, in positions like this before. They went through a stretch. Remember when they played Charlotte and Miami at Staples Center?
Sure.
Win two in a row. Both of those games go to overtime. Oh, mm-hmm. They're building some momentum here. They're going to walk past the Minnesota Timberwolves. No, they're not. They're going to lose. So that's the cautious that, you know, you and I have is that, well, every time you've had that opportunity to prove something, you failed. We'll see if they can do it tomorrow.
ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Here's the difference, and here's why I'm more optimistic about this one than some of those other ones. And we'll use the Indiana game that you mentioned a minute ago where you're thinking, okay, and Frank Vogel even said it after the game, maybe this is the game that can kind of launch us onto a little bit of a winning streak, and then they turn around and they lose the very next game. The difference is, in that Indiana game, they didn't play well. LeBron did.
You're right.
LeBron was extraordinary, but the rest of the team didn't play well. They didn't play any defense. They didn't get any stops. They didn't look like they were running any plays. It's just that one of the greatest players in the history of the sport had a night, and he made a bunch of shots. So that's not really a plan. That's just a great player playing greatly. Against Sacramento, they played well. They played a brand of basketball that – appears to be repeatable. It didn't rely on somebody just going nuclear for a night and scoring a bunch of points and carrying the team along. It was a real plan that can be replicated over and over again, maybe. If the plan is, if LeBron gets 40, we'll win, that's a really bad plan, because as good as he is, he cannot do that on a regular basis anymore. Very few guys in the league can. But if the plan is, hey, if we play fast, we play defense, we play collectively as a unit, that we got guys that are doing all the little things
Monk's
that you need to get
done.
Monk's
giving you 22. Dwight's giving you a double-double. Carmelo's chipping in with 14. You got 5-6 different guys that are contributing. Now, you're right, because we were spending yesterday saying that was the best half of basketball they've played all year. We haven't had the opportunity to say that very often. And if LeBron is saving you in a game against the Pacers because he's hitting 28-footer step-backs over Sabonis, you can't say, well, that's our blueprint, because you're obviously not going to win many games if that's the case.
No, and even going back to the Charlotte and Miami back-to-back wins, those were – I mean, they're wins. You'll take them. You put them in the bank and keep moving, but – they weren't particularly good in those games. They were just a little bit better than the other team. They were missing, Jimmy Butler only played, a handful of minutes in that
Seven
game?
7 minutes, 8 minutes,
yeah.
Something
and
like
then
that, yeah.
Charlotte is, they're okay. They're not terrible, but it's the Charlotte Hornets. It's, whatever. LaMelo's a nice player.
You'd be surprised. That's one of the better games that they've played so far. Believe it or not, Charlotte's actually decent.
That's what's so scary.
Yeah.
That what you just said, that if we're hanging our hats on halves of Kings and they played well against Charlotte one night 3 weeks ago, that's when you look at it from that way, it's like, okay. So that's why tomorrow night against the Clips is so important.
They got some work to do.
They absolutely do. you can see them on Christmas. You can see them against the Brooklyn Nets on Christmas night. You need to listen to us. We'll tell you when you have an opportunity to do that. You can listen to Mason and Ireland. You can listen to Sedano and Cap. Everybody's going to be giving you a chance to go and see that game.
Okay, so T-Raj, what do we got here? We got Hey Did You See coming up next? That we got going on?
That is next, and then, of course, we need to get into what's going on with the Rams at the top of the hour. So just around 11 o'clock, too, there's a really interesting piece that was out there about what the Rams do in the second half, and it's not just this year. It's kind of a trend. That's coming up. Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
No, I didn't touch your drum set.
Fantastic.
I was watching Cops. I like that.
Why is it
That's
sweaty?
Fantastic. Exactly. I was watching
it's Shark
Cops.
Week.
It's raw power is what that is. Raw power. Taylor, what do you have for us?
Hey, did you see that the average price for a gallon of gas in L.A. is $4.70?
$4.70.
Yeah, $4. Okay. 70 cents. Even though it's stupid expensive, I always enjoy filling up because, oddly enough, I'm drawn to the smell of gasoline. So I'm asking you guys, what's a weird smell that makes you happy or feel good?
I don't know if that makes you weird as much as it might make you like a huffer.
I don't know what was going on there.
Yeah, I think that you like glue and spray paint. Are you into that kind of stuff? Dude?
No, not at all. I don't know. Maybe it reminds me of my youth.
Maybe. There are two things that I don't know if it's weird. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. I don't know. I don't think so. But there are two things that the second I get that scent, I'm just instantly in a good mood. The smell of cut grass just makes me feel
good.
Fantastic. It just makes you feel like you're 8 years old in the backyard or playing Little League. I love the smell of cut grass.
Get allergies. I'll sneeze 19 times. I'm with you on that.
I don't have those, so that's fine. I don't care if you have allergies.
I understand.
It's fine. And the other the smell of a baseball glove. It's that leather, that kind of worn-in leather smell that I just absolutely can't get enough of. Those are the two for me.
Okay, this is a random one. There's a certain scent, believe it or not, basketball gym. You know, when you go to a gym.
Yeah, it's called B.O. You're into B.O.,
You're trying to smell gloves and God knows what else you have in mind, all right? But there's a certain scent at a basketball gym. Yeah. And it instantly takes you back to whatever that scent is. It takes you back to when you were a kid or whatever the case. So I think there's kind of a similar thing from a sports perspective.
For sure.
The gasoline one, listen, the scent, that is what it is. You can have that. Oh, yesterday I went to go every gas station. It doesn't matter. You know, I'll wait a couple miles. I'll just go into it. Doesn't matter. Everyone's getting you for a good. The 470 was cheap. I've seen 509.
Okay, that's very quickly. That's one of those things like they'll say, the average price of a gallon of gas in L.A. County is, what did you say, 480 or whatever?
Yeah, 470.
470? I've never seen it. Like where are these 470 stations? I'm only seeing things that are just barely under $5.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah. No, you're right about that. I thought you were going to say that it was less. I'm like, less.
No. I've never seen whatever the average is. I only see 20 cents more per gallon wherever I go.
Yeah.
You know what also is a really good smell? Home Depot. Like when you get in Home Depot and you smell the wood and everything, that to me is great.
That's the lumber. Right, the Home Depot. It's that sawdust is another one of those things. Maybe it's just because it reminds me of those old school pizza joints where you'd go in, they'd have the sawdust on the floor. I could get into that little sawdust.
And when you and I walk into a Home Depot, you know, people just know like, hey, these guys mean business. They know what they're doing. They need 2x4s. Is that what we're supposed to say?
Yeah, there's such a thing as 2x4. Yeah. Taylor, if you need some help with your gasoline sniffing addiction, reach out to somebody. I'm here for you.
Admit you like it, Trav.
I don't hate it, but I don't look forward to paying for gas just to get a whiff of
He doesn't
diesel.
Stop at gas stations when he doesn't need gas.
Okay, here we go. Did you see they made another Home Alone movie?
This
film was met with negative reviews, and even though everyone complains about remakes and reboots, Hollywood continues to churn them out. So what movie franchise has been milked too much?
Well, are
we talking just Christmas, movies?
I think everything. In general, for me, and I hope that our Disney bosses aren't listening to this.
This is not good for the show, by the way.
These movies, but I just feel like it's hard for me to keep up because they come out so fast, are the Star Wars movies. It feels like there's a Star Wars movie every 6 seconds.
Appreciate you guys being a part of the show.
Starting tomorrow.
It's too much.
Starting tomorrow, you're going to get some national programming.
Let me savor one before we go to the next one. I want more of them. I just need them doled out at a slightly slower pace. Marvel 2.
That's not a bad one. Like, I see what you're saying. And not all those I follow along with. I'm trying to think, what Christmas movies are you like, no, that's enough of that. This thing
almost
is over.
All of them that aren't Elf or Bad Santa.
You might be right.
The Santa Claus.
The Santa Claus is that's the Tim Allen one, right? That's not bad. That's not and the classic, the A Christmas Story with Ralphie and sticking the tongue on the pole. Like, yeah, there are a few. But if you said to me, Miracle on 34th Street, it's been vaporized and you can never see it. That's fine.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
I'm good.
Okay,
I don't need
that.
To see that again.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking on the Star Wars thing. It's probably one of the biggest investments Disney has made. But that's really good. That's really nice of you to point that out.
Yeah, I don't think that me saying that I want them to come out at a slower pace is going to make people have less of an appetite for Darth Vader.
You're right, but it will just all of a sudden get our podcast we just won't appear anymore when people want to listen to it. Just say,
like,
you know,
Major
what?
League
it's not
Baseball.
There.
It's just gone. It's just our pictures are gone.
That's awesome. Our lineup, just both of our faces are off the. Just says
exactly.
Okay, last one this morning. Did you see that an armored car traveling north along the 5 in Carlsbad had its doors swing open, allowing bags of cash to fly out? As expected, motorists pulled over in frenzy to collect the bills. So, in that situation, what would you do if the streets were flooded with cash?
I kind of already know where I'd go with this. And this is just pure out of, I don't know. I don't know how to explain this to you. I don't think I'd do anything. Would you stop on a freeway?
Okay. Maybe. There's a maybe. If I'm making that drive and all of a sudden I'm driving and I see the paper fluttering in the air and all of a sudden one very briefly sticks to my windshield as I go through.
And it's a
$100 bill or $50.
Great point.
I am stopping and they're everywhere. I'm stopping to pick those up. If it flutters through the air and a 1 sticks to my window, I'm like, you know,
okay,
what?
How about
I got an appointment.
What
down
if it's
in San
a 20?
Diego. I need to get down there.
What if it's a 20? What are you doing on a 20?
How many are flying around in the air? Is it?
There's a lot of them flying
then
around.
I'm probably stopping. But okay, you know what my first thought would be? Those aren't real. My first thought would not be, oh, there is a armored car that has thrown its doors open and cash is going everywhere. I'd be like, somebody's doing a prank where they printed off a bunch of counterfeit money to see if people, like, it's a sociological experiment. But if there
not
was
a bad idea. Never thought about that.
Yeah, I think I'd stop for 20s, too.
Here's my question. If you're stopping for 20s and you pull out $180 is what you end up with, do you file that as part of your tax income when you file your taxes?
No, if $180, I don't think that I would report. Dude, can they? I don't know anything about armored cars. Can they trace that money, or is it cash and it's just whatever?
I don't think the driver even cared at all.
No, I think he throw the door open.
Yeah,
I think the story went. He's like, you know, I don't want to work for this armored car company anymore. Here you go. Can you trace that money, Al? Do you know?
I have no idea, but the more I kind of think about this, I think that that's such a good. How about if you have no idea? You know how you kind of explained it. Well, if it's 100, you'll stop. If it's a 50, you stop 20. What if you have no idea? What if no? Are you stopping to figure out and get more information? Look,
no.
I don't think I am either.
Yeah, I look, Al, if I'm on the freeway in Carlsbad, that means I'm either going to San Diego or coming back. The traffic could bog down at any moment. I got to get through there.
I got to get through Oceanside if I'm coming back up.
Look, once I get to the reactor at San Onofre, I might be sitting here for 25 minutes. I got to get through this thing. I got to keep it moving.
I love how the question of if you're going to go out and get the money depends on where on the freeway you're at.
Yeah.
What exits are in front of you? Have you ate lunch yet or not?
What if you're stuck on the 110?
This is uniquely LA.
Absolutely. No. Look, if you were in your situation,
110 is a lot easier to do.
You could have gotten out and you would have retired. You would have collected enough money because nobody's going anywhere. You would have probably had to have a fight with a person or two to get your 20s, but why not?
By the way, somebody had a perfect answer. Only Foos on Twitter. Fast and Furious movies lead the list of movies that need to be stopped immediately.
I've never seen one.
I've never seen one either.
But you know who oddly likes Fast and Furious movies?
Who is that?
My wife. It's like it's so out of character. Like she does, there's nothing in there.
They're other printing money.
Oh, I know. Other than there's a bunch of handsome guys. I think that's the only thing that kind of works for her. But she likes those movies. Go figure. Her and every muscle car meathead in the world are all over the Fast and the Furious.
I peel out every time I pull out of LA Live. I just peel out.
All right. The Lakers and the Clippers coming up on Wednesday. Who's better set
Friday.
Up? Not, or, I'm sorry, Friday. Thank you.
Yep.
Not better set up to win the game on Friday, but who's better set up to have a run of success over the next several years? That's coming up. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.